Justice for All I had been intoning with my public school classmates every morning as we pledged allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. Then I saw that same flag being used to justify a dirty war in Vietnam. This was not the country I'd thought it was when I was a little kid. With others of my generation, I committed to changing that. A different shock came when, as a 19-year-old activist in a vibrant New Left of the 1960s, I spent a summer working in the National Office of Students for a Democratic Society, SDS. With its catchwords of "Let the People Decide" and "Participatory Democracy," and its opposition to the Vietnam War, racism, and poverty, SDS was growing phenomenally. But my intimate involvement in the organization's center provided devastating insights into terrible inadequacies, amateurishness, disorganization, and multiple confusions. This guaranteed that its seemingly stunning successes would soon lead to chaos, collapse, and fragmentation. Yet another shock came shortly after my stint in the SDS National Office, during an illness when, bedridden and with time on my hands, I read Lenin's classic "What Is to Be Done?", posing a question that seemed as urgent to me in 1966 as it was to him in 1902. Many New Left authorities had assured me Lenin was passé. Yet his text spoke to me with a compelling relevance I had not expected. Other shocks resulted in my becoming active, by the early 1970s, in an organization which proudly emphasized its adherence to the Leninist tradition and helped bring an end to the U.S. war in Vietnam. In the wake of its success, however, came uncertainty and disorientation regarding what to do next. In the name of Leninism, some of the ascendant leaders transformed the group into an authoritarian sect. It would soon embark on an expulsion campaign to rid itself of those who disagreed. A veteran Trotskyist resisting that development, George Brightman, was one of my mentors. He asked me to develop a study of what Lenin had actually said and done in helping to forge an organization capable of leading the Russian Revolution of 1917. In writing Lenin and the Revolutionary Party in the 1980s, as I combed through Lenin's texts, studying how they related to the actual historical contexts, I experienced yet another shock. My understanding of Lenin, and that of many comrades, though not a seasoned few such as Brightman, had been stilted. It was disconnected from the actual struggles of large numbers of past activists in very particular situations. In my continuing study of Lenin and his times, I have been struck by a complexity and richness in his thinking and that of his comrades that had eluded me in earlier decades. Yet the shocks never stop coming. Lenin lived over a century ago. How could he possibly be relevant to our own times? In the 21st century, the people on planet Earth live in wondrous times indeed. At our fingertips are amazing technologies connecting us with each other as never before, with immense quantities of knowledge, and with capacities to do and create things far beyond what previous generations had imagined. We live in terrible times as well. The structure and dynamics of the global economy generate deepening inequalities, instabilities, and destructiveness that throw into question the future of human civilization, and even humanity's ability to survive. An eroding quality of life for more and more of the world's laboring majorities is matched by growing authoritarianism, irrationality, and violence. A voracious market economy designed to enrich already immensely wealthy elites is intimately connected with environmental destruction engulfing our world. On this last point, it seems there is good news and bad news. The good news. A scientific consensus projects that climate change, currently being driven by the immensely powerful fossil fuel industries, might still be halted, preventing our being overwhelmed by cascading catastrophes, provided that dramatic, decisive action is soon taken on a global scale. The bad news: the necessary changes will be too costly in the short run for the businesses and governments that make the decisions. So far, the necessary changes are not being implemented. More bad news. The scientific realities will not fade away despite strident denials, eloquent rhetoric, empty promises.